Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm joined now in studio. He is the constructor and conductor of DKPittsburghSports.com. He is Serbian reactionary Dejan Kovacevic. I want to talk briefly about baseball.
Oh, boy.
Not the Pirates.
Oh, okay.
Only peripherally.
Uh-huh.
Where the heck does the commissioner get off telling the pitchers they can't cheat anymore? The reaction to that has been priceless, hasn't it?
From former Pirates in particular. Have you noticed that pattern?
Oh, what a whiny bitch he came off as, Tyler Glasnow.
Well, it wasn't just Tyler Glasnow. I mean, Garrett Cole, in essence, did it. Tyler Anderson from the Pirates did it last night.
Well, Chad Kuhl. Waving the chalky balls.
Yeah, that one was a little bit different. But
no less stupid.
What ends up happening here is baseball players value their union more than anything else. And you're starting to see them speak like that, where they're getting indignant for each other. You're even seeing hitters stand up for the pitchers.
Which is ridiculous. The hitters should be bitching about the pitchers.
They're costing them money. They're costing
the hitters
them
should
careers.
Say, if you can use stick'em, I can cork my bat.
Yeah. That's it. Or go roid up or whatever else it is. This is not a surprising reaction. This is very much what the baseball community and culture is like. And that is...
what shows what prima donnas they are, what entitled dinks.
It's also fostered by the union and by the agents.
Scott Boras, do you see that statement?
Yep.
He talked about, what was it, the Autobahn of performance enhancing.
Mm-hmm. And guess who, by the way...
I don't even know what that means.
...is Cole's agent and did a really good job of preparing Cole for the question that everybody had to know was coming. That's, by the way, the agent's responsibility, chiefly.
Well, do you believe that teams are teaching their pitchers to pitch using stick'em?
I believe that pitching coaches and pitching assistant coaches and everybody like that is involved, yes.
I mean, you got to walk it back, but that makes it a bit more awkward to walk back,
well,
doesn't
the
it?
The only argument that they have, Mark, is, well, we shouldn't have done this mid-season. They had all off-season. Now you're asking me to change my routine.
Well, how long has this been around?
About 120 years.
Well, not this widespread.
No. In fact, that was the part of Manfred's...
I don't think Bob Gibson used stick'em,
that
or
was
Warren
the
Spahn.
Part, the part of Rob Manfred's... No, but Gaylord Perry and a bunch of others did, but...
Well, right, but yeah. Back then, if you did it, you got caught and you got punished, and you made yourself really hard to catch.
Well, especially in the National League. Whenever you had to come up to bat. This is something that's been around in baseball for a long time. Rob Manfred, though, I thought correctly noted in his statement that... it's now worse than ever, and it's having a bigger impact on the game. And in his own term,
MLB batting average is .238.
His own terminology was lack of action, and that's what it is. People see right now some of the guys, even on the Pirates, who are hitting whatever 200, 210, and they think it's just the Pirates who stink. Nobody's hitting other than Adam Frazier and all of baseball.
Well, like I said, .238 is the average for the entirety of MLB, and it's terrible. It used to be you hit .250
or
better.
So what's your best chance of getting on base, Mark?
Walking.
It's a walk.
Yeah, well, but when you say baseball has... negated action, it's not just because of the spin rate. It's because of the general philosophy of baseball. And is it fair to say that football is the only sport that won't allow efficiency to sabotage entertainment?
Oh, I love that. I saw you mention that.
Because I see that every other sport.
I thought it was a great point. Because football will always find a way, even if it ticks off old-timers and whatever else here, football says, wait a second, you have a problem with quote-unquote putting skirts on quarterbacks or whatever. Hey, guess what? People came here to see the quarterback play. Okay. Right. The people also came to watch the wide receiver go up and make catches, not to have him get beat up.
Fantasy football, gambling, all that stuff. They figure all of it into their mix.
They understand everything, and it's why they are the unquestioned national pastime and king of everything professional sports.
See, I love it when Goodell gets criticized. I think Goodell's the best commissioner in sports history.
God, and then I think of Ray Rice.
He's done things that are clumsy.
Yeah.
But in terms of what he's done for his owners and his sport, he's been unmatched.
You can't argue it. You can't argue it. In terms of dollars alone, what the NFL has been able to pull off, the way that it's managed a monopoly, the way that it's fought off competitors, and will continue to do so, whether it's XFL, USFL, however else it comes up, the NFL is the absolute king of everything.
Now,
and that's why.
Oh, no, there's no question. And although it's worth noting that I still think the NFL isn't a pimple on soccer's ass, and I think that got proven yesterday. I don't know if you saw Cristiano Ronaldo came out for his post-match press conference. He removed two bottles of Coke from the table.
I saw it.
And asked for water. Did you know Coke's share price dropped 1.6%?
I don't doubt that for a split second. I saw it, though. And he was making a statement, too, because he actually said something that he did.
The company is worth $4 billion less because of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Just like that.
Were you at Steeler minicamp?
I was.
Why?
Why wouldn't I be?
What newsworthy happened today, Dejan?
What do you do for a living? This is what I do for a living.
But that's such a useless exercise. Come on, look at last year. No minicamp, no OTAs, no exhibition games, and the regular season played out
with
the same caliber football.
What I'm doing to answer your question straight is I'm talking to people, I'm asking questions, and at the same time, you know, I want to see some interactions. I want to see some plays being made. I want to see some players stepping up. And when you do get into seven shots and you get into other drills like that, you can see things. If I told you right now,
they're not doing seven shots at minicamp.
Sure they did.
With pads?
No.
Well, seven shots without pads ain't seven shots.
Yeah, no, I know. But you still have a quarterback making a throw, and you still have people making catches and running routes, and you get to see some of the stuff of the Matt Canada offense, even though we're not allowed to report it.
I think the most encouraging thing is that James Pierre intercepted Ben Roethlisberger twice.
He did, and Pierre's looked good.
Well,
I'm not allowed to say that, though.
I've been saying that for the Steelers to win enough games to make the playoffs,
yes,
which I don't think is going to happen. In fact, I intend to bet heavily that it won't. But I think they need guys to step up that you can't quote-unquote count on, like a James Pierre, like an Alex Highsmith.
How about Shakur Brown? Someone like that where you could have someone jump in the slot area like the way Mike Hilton did.
Who just can come in and play.
Just come in and play football.
And be legit.
That was what Mike Hilton did. I remember Mike Tomlin basically following him around
field. No. It's happened before.
Yes. And you need – I don't think you need one of those. I think you need a couple. Maybe it's Alex Highsmith.
Because the hoi polloi, and for that matter the media, way overestimated how Alex Highsmith played last year as a rookie after he replaced Bud Dupree.
Yeah,
and that's no knock on Highsmith, but people were looking for something that wasn't there. But it may yet be there.
Highsmith won a greater percentage, slightly greater percentage, of his pass rush battles, meaning head-to-head, the guy in front of him, than Bud did. But what Bud became, and this wasn't immediate, over time, Mark, and this is my biggest concern about Highsmith, it's not about the pass rush, it's not about being disruptive, although Bud was ridiculously good at disrupting. It's about sealing the run. Mark, Bud became really, really good at that, you know?
Oh, Bud became a playmaker.
But I'm talking about just plain old sealing the run. The reason that you couldn't run against the Steelers last year principally was that you couldn't get to the edge against either TJ or Bud. And if you don't have that in Highsmith, and you'll remember the one touchdown that he gave up.
And you might not.
He might not.
And you didn't last year.
And you didn't last year. And he has to adjust to that in a big, big way, in a big, big hurry. And I don't know that that's there. But you know what else? They also need more edge rushers. They've got two right now. They need at least three.
Now, the big story was yesterday when Matt Canada said the offense is going to do what Ben wants and how Ben wants. What are the pros and cons of that? I didn't see that as quite the cataclysmic bummer that some people did.
No.
Because I think most of it, I think he's deferring to Ben like a first-year NFL offensive coordinator probably should. But I do want to see more change than he is he is alluding to. But I also understand that it's about what Ben can do at 39. There's only so much change that he could absorb, given, frankly, his age and lack of mobility.
I would file that remark under what did you think he was going to say more than anything else. He has everything to gain as a coordinator from having his franchise Hall of Fame quarterback giving him buy-in in return. I have no doubt that they've worked closely together. I have no doubt that Ben's already familiar, not just with the stuff that Matt Canada has put in this year after taking over as coordinator, but the stuff that was supposed to have gone in last year and that Randy Feitner took out halfway through.
Well, we think.
I believe.
I think Ben took out.
I think that in this case, with the conversations that the Steelers had with Ben, I really believe that it's been made clear to him who the coordinator is.
We'll see.
I know we'll see, because there's only one
Matt
guy.
Matt Canada
that's...
and his statement didn't exactly paint the picture you want.
He didn't, but it's, you know, we're looking at a Matt Canada offense. We're looking at it every day. I watched it yesterday. This is
now is that, now. Later is later.
Yeah, but what's Ben gonna do? How much authority do you have just being out there on the field? I know you're talking
all
about just
it.
The difference between
all
running.
Of it.
You're just talking about the difference between running and passing. But I'm talking about the plays.
No. I'm talking about lining up in the shotgun. What was it? 82% of the time last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has to change. I think the elements Canada wants to install involving deception don't work out of the shotgun half as well.
That might be
and
true.
And Ben wants to be in the shotgun.
And he absolutely wants to be in the shotgun. But
And also, like I said at the beginning of this conversation, it's about what he can do. He can't take seven-step drops.
Well, let me ask you a question. How involved do you think Najee Harris will be in this offense?
Oh, I'm hoping very involved.
It'll be very, very involved.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have Lev-type touches.
I hope that's right, because that would change the offense a great deal.
But for anybody who doesn't know what that means, Le'Veon Bell was getting 30-plus touches a game.
I expect Najee Harris to have 1,500-plus total offensive yards.
I think that's fair. I actually think that's reasonable. I mean, the concern that you have about him is that...
That's assuming they don't fall behind all the time and have to catch up.
Yeah, when you're playing 11, 12 games in college and you show up in the NFL and you're playing 17 and you don't have Fresno State on your schedule for an easy one, it's going to be tougher. And yes, Alabama actually did play Fresno State last year. It's going to be a little bit tougher. You know, it's going to be a lot tougher.
Well, yeah, but here's where I think the Steelers are going to come under 9 wins. Okay.
That's really pessimistic, man.
No, that's really realistic.
That's a minus 500 record.
That's,
it has no
that's
precedent.
That's right. That's really realistic. Well, precedent gets broken with every team in that regard sooner or later. But my feeling is because I think the offensive line is terrible. And I think Ben will eventually get hurt. And he might not get hurt cataclysmically, but I think he'll start 13 or 14 games.
Well, I have concerns about Ben and performance, never mind injury.
I have less concerns about Ben and performance than I do him getting injured. I think I'm 70% certain, like I said yesterday, he'll have a really good season.
I can't shake.
Although I do think
Cincinnati. I just can't mark.
I also think that he'll.
Why does nobody talk about Cincinnati?
I talk about it all the time. Juju's fumble.
Like it never.
Another season defining fumble.
Never happened. You know?
Oh, we talk about the Steeler media talks about a lot of stuff like it never happened.
But
is to say they don't talk about it.
I mean, the Cincinnati game was the one that was like, he looked like he was done, you know? And he wasn't hurt. He wasn't banged up or anything, at least not to our knowledge.
But that's my point. I think if he does play 17 games, he will fade like he did last year. You know, and I know he says that won't happen again because he's that much more removed from elbow surgery. Mm-hmm. He's still a year older.
Well, a lot of this is going to depend on what we talked about initially here, and that is to what extent can you create balance with this offense? And I know one thing that you and I have long been on the same page with is that if he throws 50-plus times a game, you lose. If they have to find some
and
kind of balance.
If he throws 50-plus times per game, he gets worn out over the course of the season more easily
and
more definitely. If he has to throw that many times a game or chooses to, he will not be good down the stretch. And let's face it, Dejan, that is a trend not only with the team but with him. They have collapsed down the stretch for 3 straight seasons.
Yep, and part of that is what's happened to the offense. You've seen him fade. Last year, and again, this is another thing that I think gets under discussed, if you will, was that the offensive line wasn't doing anything. I mean, you can say that this offensive line stinks, even though you haven't seen them play a snap yet. None of us have. You can project that.
They're going to stink.
Well, I don't know, because what I at least know that you're going to have a younger, more enthusiastic, more energetic, more physical
group. Let's bring in high school kids then.
Oh, you know, come on.
Well, come, well, no, you come on. Zach Banner got cut by an 0-16 team, and he started two games. Chooks is switching from the right spot, right tackle, where he did okay, to a much more demanding spot.
And it's going to be...
B.J. Finney wasn't good enough to start during his first tenure here. Magic beans in the interim?
I'm worried about Chooks at left tackle. I'm not worried about Kevin Dotson.
No, Kevin Dotson is their most reliable lineman.
That guy.
What they really need, because he fights in a phone booth. He
knocks,
is so good in tight.
He knocks people backwards.
But DeCastro might be washed up. Although I have considered that he might have one more good season left in him, and he'd better, because if he doesn't, it's all over.
Yeah, I think Dave's going to be fine, although I was a little worried to see him in civvies yesterday. I mean,
me too.
It's been a while. That was not confirmed to be an injury, but then if it wasn't, why wasn't he out there?
He could be just beat up, but if you're beat up from any camp.
The center position, you know, you're probably going to see Kendrick Green take it over at some point.
He has to. For that offensive line to be what they need it to be, he has to be the starter and be good by the third game.
And then you can use Finney as a backup at multiple positions.
Which is
wherever,
where he's always served any team best.
Needed. But I don't buy that the offensive line is going to be worse than last year's, because I don't know that you can be a whole lot worse than those guys were collectively last year. I really don't believe that, Mark.
I think they're up to the challenge.
I don't know that.
One real quick thing. I'm hearing more and more, and we got to keep this quick, that the Penguins are probably going to extend Malkin and Letang this summer, despite the Malkin injury.
I mean, they've pretty much said so.
Well, I don't
know. Ron Hextall's on record. Was this
reported
as some big
exclusive? No, said they would extend them, but I don't know. I thought with Malkin's knee injury, that might make them... Well,
it makes sense.
Makes sense depending on length and price.
And whether or not they could be moved if it came to that.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Would you give Letang or Malkin 3 years?
Yes.
Oh, no way.
Because you're replacing one, so it's essentially a 2 year extension.
No.
Wait a second.
No.
I watched Chris Letang play hockey this season.
I would give them a 2 year extension.
Yeah.
On top of the one they have.
That's what I said.
No. Would you give them a 3 year extension?
Oh, I don't know. But look at what Chris Letang just did.
Oh, you have to sell me on Letang. He must not listen.
Okay. Well, then what's the problem with giving him an extension?
I didn't say there was. I just wanted to know what would happen.
I believe that it will.
I would be
now,
more trepidatious.
Now the price is going to be lower. The price is going to be lower than what they're getting
paid. What would you pay either of them?
I think you'd be looking in the six range. I really do.
For who, Tanger or Gino?
Both.
I'd give Gino 6.5. I'd give Tanger 5.5.
Okay, so what's the problem? You just gave him the contract.
You
were yelling at me a second ago.
That depends on what they say. I'll be blunt. I wouldn't extend Gino till I see if his knee's okay.
His knee's going to be fine. Knees are so easily fixed anymore, Mark. They are. This isn't Bobby Orr. You still got Bobby Orr on your head.
Yeah, he's 35. That's Dr. Dejan Kovacevic, knee specialist. It's time to Ask Mark Anything, 412-333-WXDX.